Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I
long
once more to be.
More to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we're seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to this, your word, Father, and to help us and to guide us along the way in which we should walk, Father, through this life here on earth, so that we can make heaven our home. Now be with us, Father, throughout the remainder of this service this evening. And once again, we make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As I was speaking just a little earlier, everyone that is listening or that will tune in to this message later on the internet, this little church and I need your prayers. Because unless some changes are made, and we can get a few more coming in here, come the end of January, I will be closing the church. Tonight, I've got one with me. My daughter. And then those that will be on the internet. But you know, I can't see heating a building like this and spending all that money out for one or two. Because a lot of evenings I'm here by myself and I can't see continuing to use the Lord's money that way. Because I do have an outreach. I do have a place to teach It's not church, but it's to teach His Word. And it's on Tuesday at 2 p.m. And it's people that are shut-ins that really can't get out and get to church. And they are those, they are ones that really want to hear God's Word. They let me know that now twice. So right now, as I said, the church and I, we need your prayers. Because only the Lord our God can give us the help that we need. And I want to do what He wants done. So let's all keep it in prayer. This evening I'm going to be speaking to you from the fourth chapter of Galatians. So I'll give you just a minute to get there. You know, you and I have been given something that other eras did not have. They had to stand on their own. Those that were living before the law was given to Moses, and those that lived during the time of the law that God had gave to Moses, were all mainly on their own. Once in a while, the Lord would impart the Holy Spirit to them just for one thing that He wanted done at the time that needed to be done by Him. And you know, a lot of mankind don't believe that we have any power. And you can't seem to get them to really hear and understand, as I said this morning. They hear with the ears, but they don't hear with the understanding and with the heart. The disciples were in the same shoes that we were in. You see, they were all born under the law and lived in that day and time and were to be keepers of that law. And even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born under the time of the law. And His ministry, the 3.5 years of His ministry, was to prepare people of that day and time for what was going to happen, which was His death and resurrection and the change that was to be made from the law to grace. You and I are to live under grace that is given to you and I by the Lord God. And it is a gift. We can't work our way for it. And we can't buy it. It's given to us free when we go to searching for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, when we find Jesus, and we go to Him in repentance, and we begin changing our lives, there is still more to come that we are to have. One of them is power. We are to be given power. Just as the Lord, talking to Peter and his disciples in Acts chapter 1, they was asking him a question about when he would restore the kingdom to Israel. And he told them, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But he goes on with this next verse to let them know that there is coming a time that their understanding can be enlightened. Because he goes on to tell them, he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see the change that is coming. Well, with his crucifixion and his resurrection, and on that day of Pentecost, after Christ had ascended and rose and went back to heaven, on the day of Pentecost, he sent back, according to the scripture, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell with mankind. And it was with that act of the love of Almighty God, of sending the Holy Spirit back to you and I, that brought the power that we all are supposed to have to be that child of the living God. Those that do understand that it is needed, they'll understand with the mind, but they don't understand with the heart, because they keep putting themselves in the way. So they don't walk with any power. And they're not doing anything for the Lord God. They're not carrying this gospel daily within their lives. They're not helping their families. They're not helping their friends and the people they come in contact with by sharing the word. And most of that is because of selfishness, the great big I and me. Everything has to be me and I, instead of following the Lord our God and his word. And if we would all do that, we'd see great things happening. Just as we have done coming in to these holidays, by what the church has done here within the community and the feeding of those that could not get out on their own, in speaking to them about the Lord and doing what God wanted done, and the outreach that had been given to me through that. But you see, as I was talking this morning, those that have been coming here and visiting with me here at the church, and those that are saying that this is their church, they're hearing with their ears, but they're not hearing with their heart. And they're letting things of this world come between them and God. Let me tell you something. It don't matter what it is that keeps you away from church. It will also keep you out of the kingdom of Almighty God. Because you see, it's our choice and our responsibility to get there. Because that's where God's work is being done in this day and time. And that's why he is going to be coming back for his church. And if you're not ready, and you have not done what the word has told you to do, and you're not walking accordingly, and you're not helping to build the church, and you're not talking to your family and your friends, and doing everything you can do to get them and to where they can hear the word of God, you're going to find yourself short. I know, man don't like this kind of preaching. Pastor, you just stepping on us. No, I'm not. The word of God is. Because it's all written. Every bit of it you'll find in his word. Everything we spoke since I began this evening, you'll find in his word. In this book of Galatians, you know, Paul started out with it actually by calling them foolish, didn't he? Oh, foolish Galatians. Think about that. What do you think he would say of you today when you are not doing anything to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you think Paul would tell you today? Well, before we get all the way through this book of Galatians, you're going to find out, because he's sure going to let you know. And tonight we're here in the fourth chapter of Galatians. Because you see, the third chapter we went through was giving us the difference between the law and grace, why it came about and all of that. So now we're going to chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, under tutors, governors, until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, I'm going to stop reading there for a moment, and let's take a look at what we've just read. Because you see, when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to give us the guidance as we read and study God's Word, we learn things that otherwise we wouldn't know. You see here in verse 2, Paul is talking about their law and how things were in that day and time. Because you see, the minors were under tutors and governors. Well, what would that be all about? You see, a tutor was one that oversee the minor's person. In other words, he was to see after that minor. The governor was there to oversee his possessions, because they, in that day and time, they were under this tutors and governors and considered minors until they were 25 years old. Boy, how would our teenagers like that today? Don't believe they'd like that much, would they? But you see, they don't stop and think just what God really has given to us. There is not a one today that cannot make a way to be in church if they really want to do it. Is it always easy? No. Was it always easy for Paul to carry the gospel like he carried it? No. He was beaten 3 times. He was jailed 2x. He was shipwrecked and in the sea 3 days. He was cast upon an island, bit by a poisonous snake that he just shook off his hand into the fire. Those sitting around was waiting, watching, and in their minds, he was a man that had done awful things, because the shipwreck didn't kill him, and now God's letting him be bit by this poisonous snake, so he surely got to die. That poisonous snake didn't even make him sick. Think about it. Did he have it easy? No. But he was fulfilling what God was asking of him to do. And even when he was in jail, he was still doing God's work. Now, he couldn't get out and go to the church, But he wrote them these letters. Most of these letters were written while he was in prison. And he was spending his time in there teaching those that was over him, the guards and everything. He was still doing God's work. We have no excuse today whatsoever, because really, we have been given everything we need in order to be that child of the living God that he wants you and I to be, and to do what he wants us to do. But we sit back because we've got no backbone. We're afraid of our family. We're afraid of our fans. We're afraid of what they'll say about us, what they'll accuse us of being. And we do nothing. And you know, I can remember a time right here in our land and in my lifetime where that was not so. And growing up, I wasn't asked, "Son, do you want to go to church this morning or tonight?" No. My dad and my mother tell me, "Get ready, it's getting church time. We're going to church." They didn't say, "Do you want to go?" You're going. Because you see, that's what the scripture tells us to do. The scripture tells you and I to raise our families according to God's word and in the church. My children, when they came along, they'll all tell you, "Dad didn't say, well, Cindy, you want to go to church tonight? Or, now it's Sunday. Cindy, do you want to go to church this morning?" No, they were told to get ready. We're going. I got one today that'll throw that up to me. "Dad, you didn't give me a choice. I had to go." That's right. While they was minors and at home, it was my obligation and my responsibility to see that that's where they went. It don't happen anymore. Very few today, very few of our young people today are actually made go to church. And that's why we are losing so many of them. We're losing almost two generations to Satan because we will not stand up for him and the Lord Jesus Christ and make his word known to our family and our friends. And we will allow a lot of our family and friends to attend churches that are teaching contrary to the Word of God. And we see it all around us. Right here in the county in which you and I live, we see it being done all the time. They go contrary to what the Word tells them to do. They'll use all kinds of excuses in order to get it done, just as we use all kinds of excuses not to be in God's house when it's time for service. And you know, really, when we really get into the Word of God, and you find out, even within the churches that are teaching God's Word the best, are still weak. Why? Because, you know, we just want church on Sunday morning, no other time, just Sunday morning. Then we have those that say, well, no, come on now, let's use Sunday now for church. So we're going to have church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then we have those churches that say, well, now, you know, that one day just not enough. We need at least one day through the week. So we're going to meet on Wednesday night. Well, here we don't meet Wednesday night. We meet Thursday night. But we are still weak because the church actually should never be closed. And they should be services every day. The New Testament is full of it. These people that Paul is after here in Galatians, as we go, you're going to find out, as we go on through it, he's after them because they're not doing what they were supposed to be doing. We need the Lord our God in our lives every day. And the best place to do that is at church, where we can come together for prayer and to be there to help each other. We're nothing like the first century churches today. The Galatian church, Corinthian church, or none of those. Back then, these churches would all come together, and if somebody had need, if they had to do it, they'd all sell things they had, and they would give out to each other as each had a need until no one lacked what was needed. Try that today. Really, in most places you would go for help, the last place you want to go is to church, because you're going to find very few churches that will help you with a need. Sad. Now, but you see, Paul's letting them know also that they were under bondage. And that bondage that they're under, as he called it, was the elements of the world. In other words, their religious teachings and practicing in that day and time for the Jews was the law. But see, and for the Gentile, it was the truths of the law written in their hearts. You know, before the Lord Jesus Christ came, man was spiritually immature. And therefore, we were all subject, and still are today, of being taught about tradition of mankind and things of the law, instead of being taught the truth of God's word, because we really don't want to hear it, because we have got that selfish pride of, that's not my way of thinking. No, it's not. It's God's way. And that's what we are all supposed to have. And he talks about, there in that fourth verse, he talks about the fullness of time. Actually, what he's talking about is the time that has been appointed by the Father. Think about it. And he also talks about man being made of woman. Well, that's one way of putting it. We don't put it that way today. We are born of woman. That's the same thing. God created each one of us in the womb of a woman. He put us there, and she carried us until we were developed into what God wanted us to be. That's why none of us is exactly alike. That's why we have different fingerprints and all. It's because God individually put us there. But we come by her. Today we call it pregnant. She's pregnant with us because she's carrying us. She'll carry us close to 9 full months while we develop into being what God put us there to be. And then we are born with that old man's sin. And we'll walk that way until we come to a knowledge of knowing that we need something more than ourselves. And then we go to looking for what is needed. We go to realizing. You see, that's why we're to bring our children up into the church, is so they can hear the word of God and know they need something more than themselves here on this earth. Because self is only going to get you in trouble. Because you're going to want everything that this world out here has got to offer, but you want the best of it. So you get actually covetousness, and we're told that no covetous person is going to make heaven their home. That's all got to be got rid of in our lives. Do we like good things? Yes. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's when we let it come between us and God. And that's what so many is doing today. They're letting that come between them and Almighty God. Now, verse 5, he says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, when we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and we are born again, then we have become sons of God into his family as adopted sons. Because you see, once that happens, there is no difference between us Gentiles and the Jews. We're all the same if we are sons of God. There's no difference there. He says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We become an heir. We have that inheritance, the same as Jesus, because you see, we become a joint heir with him. Because let me tell you something. Once you have become that born-again child of the living God, Jesus moved into you. Your flesh is his home. You don't have to look a way out in space to find him. He's there in you. His word tells you so. And the Holy Spirit, he doesn't just come and go. He lives in you. Right now, we don't understand how that can all happen with so many different people. But we know it does, we know it can and does, because God's word tells us so. And it's God's word that is truth. Man just don't want to believe it. We talk about man because mainly the scriptures speaks about man and mankind. But it means both men and women. You see, when he's speaking about man, he's speaking about mankind. And we are all of mankind. Now, here in verse 8, it says, how be it then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them, which by nature are no gods. Well, here, Paul is letting them know that in their earlier time, their earlier lives, before they became that child of God, they actually was worshiping pagan gods. Think about it. We talked just a little bit this morning about paganism. You see, that's why I don't believe in Christmas, is because of paganism. Oh, yes, I grew up believing in Santa Claus, got married, my kids come along. I kept telling them about Santa Claus, you got to go in and go to sleep. Santa Claus won't come tonight, you won't get no presents. You see, that's paganism. That's putting something before God. They all claimed that Christmas was to honor his birth. Well, he wasn't born in December to start with, but that's beside the point. We're not going to even get into that. But the thing about it is, if that's truly what you make it, that would be fine. But it's not. Now, they are those that will have church services and all Christmas Day, regardless of what day of the week it is. They will have it. But they also, you'll find your churches with Christmas trees and all inside. And God said we're to have nothing to do with it. Nothing at all to do with paganism. You don't need that tree. You don't need that picture of Santa Claus in the church. But we do need to honor him on that day. Because we are to honor the Lord Jesus Christ every day of the year, 365 days a year. But the main thing is to get him into your heart and start standing and sharing with your friends and your family and have enough backbone to get them to accompany you to church services. And make a way to be there. You say, oh, Pastor, you just don't know. I've got this to do and I've got that to do. Oh, yes, I do. I've been down that road. I used my work for an excuse. And then God took my work away from me. Think about it. You can use your work to stay out of church, and you can lose everything you have. You can lose your family. You can lose your friends. And you can lose your work. I wouldn't be sharing this with you if I didn't love you. I love you just as God loves you. I don't want to see or hear of no one being lost. I want to see all find the Lord Jesus Christ. Make him their Savior. Make him your Messiah. So that you can make heaven your home throughout eternity. I don't want to see and know of anyone happen to be put in that lake of fire. We know there's going to be more go into that lake of fire than is going to go to heaven, because the Word tells us so. The Word tells us that broad is the way of destruction, and many there be that find it. And straight and narrow is the way of salvation. And few there be that find that. We don't know how few or how many that will make heaven their home. But we know there's going to be less of them than those that will spend eternity in that lake of fire. I don't want to see anyone that way. That's why I've asked all of you, keep me in this church in your prayers. Because the way things are going, unless we can get more here, I'm not going to continue wasting God's money to keep this church open. Like tonight, I've got one here with me, my daughter. But the church has been heated all day, so it would be comfortable or halfway decent for services tonight. And then during the services, you've got all of the lights and things added on. In this big building. And I do have an outreach. I do have a place to where I can go and teach the Word of God. So the church and I both need you to pray for us and to work with us and help us to fill up a few more seats in here. I'm not asking for every seat in here to be filled, no. I'd like to see that. But I would like to see at least four or five more in here with me. And then those that are on the internet and on the line. But to keep a place going and with the expense that it costs today and getting higher all the time for just one or two people to be there, no. So if you're concerned at all about the church, keep us in your prayer, me and it, praying that God will bring those in and work with us to help us put some more in these seats. I'm talking about really work at it. Don't just say, well, I invited so-and-so. I'm talking about really working. And work with your families. You sit back and you watch your families be lost because you don't have enough backbone to tell your family, it's church time. You need to get ready and let's go to church. But that's exactly what God is expecting of you to do. And we're going to stop here. God willing, we'll pick up here come Thursday evening. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word and to be supportive one to the other so that we can all learn, Father, and that we can all grow in faith and in our love to the Lord Jesus Christ and to you, Father, so that we can make heaven our home instead of being lost, Father, throughout eternity. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, keep them in health and see to each and every need they have, because we know that some of them are walking in places to where if they're caught with the word will mean imprisonment and death. Now, Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them because, Father, your word tells us to. Because we know that right now, especially in this day and time, Father, they're not having much peace anywhere there in that land. Rockets causing destruction and death every day. And Father, they are your chosen people. And we're praying for them to have peace. But even more than that, we're praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings, and as their Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this land of ours, a land that had no excuse at all, taking the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place he was in, taking our Bibles out of our schools, out of all of our government offices and all. Don't have nothing taught about Jesus, nor from our Bibles. Yet this land is having our schools to teach our children about the Islamic religion. Father, we need your help, and we need the help of all of your children to help us to straighten things out. And to do that, Father, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to remove those from office that's against your church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to replace them with those that will work for the church, work for Jesus, putting him back into all the places he's been taken out of, and working with us to bring this land to repentance and our government put back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list. As each name is spoken, Father, may the Holy Spirit see to their need, whatever that need may be, whether it be physical, financial, or spiritual. Father, Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden, his wife, Tina, for the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, for Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, for Pastor Randy Johnson and Pastor Luke Bess in the Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, for Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father. Not only make these churches lighthouses to the community in which they stand, but make them a place of refuge, Father, to where those walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron. Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. Because they walk in lands too, Father, that can cause imprisonment and death. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for the Lee family, for my wife's family and my family, and Father, for each and every family that will hear this message, may the whole family belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit work with them. Work with those that are walking in darkness with our families, Father, and lead them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue and David, for Jim Taylor, for Kelly Smith, for Karen. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, my daughter, Cindy, my wife, Elizabeth, and I all need that healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Father, we thank you for his healing. We're calling this done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, remember, God willing, we can all be together again at 5 p.m. Eastern Time come Thursday evening. So until then, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night, all.